This is Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports.
How you doing? This is indeed Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports, brought to you by the I-95 Sports and Entertainment Network and Mile High Radio in Denver. Solly and Jeff coming to you from the FedEx Studios once again. It is just the two of us this week as Danny and Steve are still on their hiatus, exodus, whatever the hell you want to call it. They're still not here. We have their pigskin picks for later on in the show. We have their thoughts on the sports world. We'll be spreading those out throughout the course of the show. Although Steve's really only got one thought, and that's, we'll get to that later on. A lot to get to on the show tonight. We have two divisions locked up already in the NFL. The AFC North has already been won by the Pittsburgh Steelers. The NFC East has already been locked up by the Philadelphia Eagles. More on them later on in the show, as well as the Jets and the Giants. We will get to the NFL, we promise. But the big story coming out of the New York metro area, it's been talked about most of the week, has been the New York Yankees returning to the form of the evil empire, so to speak. They have acquired Giancarlo Stanton from the Miami Marlins, who in their own right are having a fire sale.
Sigh.
Yeah.
And so the world turns yet again, and Yankees are back in form as being a team that many in the MLB world do not like. And say in a more vile tone than, screw you, Yankees.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that not many. I'd say you're either a Yankee fan or you're either a Yankee fan, Yankee hater, or like me, really don't care.
It's more about we have to, as Met fans, live through this
again.
Yeah. Because also during the time of Yankee competence is the other side of Mets incompetence.
Well, as far
where
as...
where they can't really do anything in the free agency markets.
I know. Well, the official trade for Stanton was...
ugh.
Giancarlo Stanton goes to the Yankees in exchange for Starlin Castro, minor leaguers George Guzman, and Jose Devers. That's who the Yankees gave up for Giancarlo. They've also made a couple of other moves. They've traded Chase Headley and Brian Mitchell to the Padres for Jabri Blash. And that was a move to help deal with salary cap.
So which
issues.
Is a better move?
I
say it's a Jabri Blash move. I don't know
yeah,
about
so
you.
Do I.
Because it creates roster space, you know.
It creates a roster space. And, by the way, it also frees up salary cap space to deal with the luxury tax issue.
Exactly.
Because...
I don't think the Giancarlo thing is that big of a deal.
No, it's
not. No.
It's
no, still, we got to talk more about the Jabri whatever his last name
Jabri
is.
Jabri Blash trade?
Yeah,
why not? Let's see. Headley sucked as a third baseman. He's not going back
to San
Diego.
We are really talking about this, are we?
No, we're not.
Okay, good. Let's talk about the real thing that really annoys the Met fans.
And I think most baseball fans is the fact that now the only real competition for the Yankees in the American League is the defending world champions, the Astros. There's no competition in the East anymore. There's not.
Right, on paper, there isn't.
Theoretically, there might be in the Red Sox.
Theoretically, let's see how the season plays out.
Yeah.
Because, again, with the whole Aaron Boone thing that we talked about last week as well,
yep.
Now you got megastar Giancarlo Stanton, who is relatively underpaid once you see the Machados and the Harpers get their contracts.
Yeah, but then again...
But he's still the highest paid player since they're megastar, Yankees megastars in Judge and...
Gary Sanchez.
Exactly, Gary Sanchez. Thanks for stepping on me. They're not... paid as much at all. They're still at around the league minimums because they're their first, second years or so. They're still,
I think it's first,
exactly. So they're not paid yet. So yeah, of course the Yankees were under the cap, the tax cap, and now they were able to structure themselves where they got a lot of assets in the minor league system that perform very well, and they have the cap room to afford to make a trade like this. And really bolster that lineup and make it a very vile lineup to deal with.
But here's the thing, though. You have potentially a combined, if my math is right, 101 home runs between Stanton and Judge alone.
Ugh.
Stanton hit 59 and won NL MVP. Judge was runner-up to AL MVP, and he hit 52. So you got that to worry about. But then again, you also have to consider the other side of the coin here. Between the two of them, they had well over 300 strikeouts last year.
Unfortunately, that doesn't matter when all we care about is that home run stat you provided just seconds before.
Yep. 101 home runs between the two of them.
Because a lot of them will come with runners on base.
Not potentially, because I'm hearing one guy throw out a belief that Aaron Judge could hit leadoff for the Yankees this year.
Why would he throw that makes Aaron no damn Judge sense whatsoever. Leadoff? He's a number three hitter.
He could end up hitting two because you have to worry about, let's see, you still have Gary Sanchez in the lineup, who's a perennial 30-plus home run hitter. When healthy, you also have another perennial 30 home run threat in Greg Bird, because Bird's been in and out with injuries the last 2 years.
I would put Bird in the two hole then.
No, I'm not saying for the two hole. I'm just saying as far as home run hitters in the Yankee lineup are concerned.
I mean, where would you put Didi? Is he going to be down further down in the lineup?
Probably. He's probably going to be in the... You also realize now you're going to have Gleyber Torres playing second.
Well, can you pull up the projected starting lineup? Or at least the position players?
Yeah, I'll try to do that now.
Because also, isn't there an outfielder problem because of Giancarlo's addition?
I didn't think so. They're probably going to have, so far as I can tell, they'll probably have Gardner and Ellsbury rotating in center field. Giancarlo is probably going to play right. Gardner and Judge will play left. If worst case scenario, Giancarlo's going to DH.
But I'm trying to think, is it really worth it to put them in the DH position?
Giancarlo?
Gardner
and Ellsbury, no. Giancarlo, yes.
Why? Is he really that bad of an outfielder? I'm trying to remember.
He's fine, far as I can tell. Yeah, right now the projected outfield looks like Judge in right, Hicks in center, Gardner in left, Stanton's your DH.
Huh.
You got Aguilar at third, Gregorius at short, Torres at second, Bird at first, Sanchez behind the plate. That's your eight position players, plus staying the DH.
All right, so
at least according to the Yankees depth chart as of December 14th.
Bring that to me.
There you go. All
right, so if I were making a lineup, where was Gregorius again last year in the lineup?
I think Gregorius hit near the bottom of the lineup. He was the nine hitter usually. All right. Gardner usually let off.
All right, so let's see. I guess if Gardner stays, then yeah, I guess you keep him in the lineup. Then I can see Bird in the two. You got, let me see, Judge in the three, Giancarlo in the four. In the five is Sanchez, six. Probably, you know, I might move up Gregorius, make that a little bit more threatening right there.
Okay.
And then 7th, 8th, and 9th is between Hicks, Torreya, and Aguilar.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned,
I don't know really about those three stats, but maybe you put Gregorius a little bit further down.
Down the lineup, probably.
Just to say, like, even it, because if one of them is a good contact hitter or something like that.
Probably Aguilar.
Okay, so let's say if Aguilar is there, so like you have all this power, and then you have a contact hitter, followed by another contact and really good power with great numbers this past season. It's like you think you're safe, but then it's like, nope, you're not.
And then you also, let's not forget, you also have Clint Frazier down in the minors who's got some pop in his bat in his own right.
He's going to be an asset.
Yes,
he
is.
If the Yankees are going to be the way they are now and are really healthy, knock on wood for the Yankees fans.
Yeah.
I can definitely see him being traded by the July deadline.
Probably. As far as I'm concerned, I'd have Gardner hitting leadoff. I'd probably put Bird at two. I'd put Judge at three because I think Judge is a better all-around hitter and he scored more runs than anybody else in the American League last year. Giancarlo hits cleanup. I'd put Sanchez at five, Didi at six, Torres at seven, Hicks at eight, and Aguilar hits ninth. At least that's what I would do looking at the depth chart as of the 14th.
Yeah.
So,
but it's just crazy. It's really stunning as a Met fan. As I keep on saying this throughout the first 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah, it's typical. It's typical that the Yankees do this and the Mets do nothing. Now, I've heard Met fans whining, bitching, moaning, and complaining about it on social media.
About what? That the Yankees are smart?
That the Yankees are the evil empire. Well, actually, I heard a couple of Yankee fans say that it's brilliant on Derek Jeter's part to buy the Marlins and then trade Stanton to the Yankees. I've actually heard Yankee fans say that over social. I heard a couple of Yankee fans say that over social media over the weekend.
God,
yeah.
Shut up. Shut.
That's just stupid. That's not why Derek Jeter did it. Derek Jeter did it to be able to free up cap space for the Marlins because it was a gigantic contract that Stanton has, and the Marlins couldn't afford it.
The Marlins couldn't afford it. And were there any other suitors that could have taken Giancarlo?
Well, there's a couple of other teams that wanted him. I heard the Giants were in the mix at one point. I heard the Cardinals were in the mix at one point. I heard the Dodgers were in the mix at
one
point.
And if any of them got Giancarlo, you were to hear those same Yankee fans say that, how come we didn't trade him to the Yankees? Where's the loyalty in
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Stop it. You're
it's just
idiots.
Stupid. It's just plain stupid.
Stupid idiots.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's some baseball fans. Well, that's baseball season.
Yeah. And I bet they'll say, if the Yankees win the World Series, give Jeter a ring for giving us Giancarlo. Shut up. Just blow it out your pie hole. As Matt tries to look something up.
No, it's something else that I'm trying to deal with. But yeah, as far as...
It's a good problem for first-time manager Aaron Boone to have. To have a star-studded lineup like it is. And again, 3 years is the contract. How much... Let me start over again with that. Giancarlo has 3 years left on his contract, and... That's when, after he's gone, that's when you have to start really paying all those young players.
Giancarlo's got 3 years left before he can opt out.
That's what I mean, opt out, because he has a long one. But you know he's going to opt out.
Yeah, probably. He still owed $295 million over the last 10 years of that contract.
He's still going to opt out because it's going to be at a reasonable price.
Yeah.
When we said that already. So yeah, you know. what's going to go down between Giancarlo and the Yankees after those 3 years if Giancarlo is still Giancarlo that we know and just hits bombs every single game or every other game.
But now this also leads to another pending question for the New York Yankees. As of this time next year, Bryce Harper will be the biggest name on the free agent market, and there's been plenty of discussion floating around as to whether or not Mr. Harper will end up here in New York playing for the Yankees. Because there's been talk running rampant about that for the last 2 years. That Harper's going to end up here in New York.
Yeah, and the same people saying Machado wants to be a Yankee because he would. I heard that he would like take a cut? Well, let's say slightly below his market value.
Yeah.
Or if someone wanted to overpay him, he would choose the Yankees over the overpay.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
So, I don't know. But this is the time, though, also, because you still don't have to pay those young players.
I know. Well, you got your look at it, but while all this has been going on, what do the Mets do? They spend $14 million on a relief
pitcher. You heard Boris's comment about the Mets?
No.
There was an audio of him trying... It's like a metaphor about the Mets being this ATM with a pit of money, but the problem is that the Mets have a lock on that ATM.
Pretty much.
That's basically what Boris said, and it's like typical Mets trying to save money for some reason, even though they have SNY, even though they have, you know, decent revenue still coming in, they just don't want to spend money.
And by the way, who was one of Scott Boras's biggest clients?
Are you saying Matt Harvey?
That's exactly what I'm going with. Harvey's one of his biggest clients.
Well, that's a whole different situation. Honestly, yeah. And I know I heard the Mets are trying to trade Harvey, which, you know, is years overdue if you ever thought about wanting to trade Harvey.
It's a couple years overdue
right now,
at least.
Because right now you're selling low on Harvey. You're not going to get anything of value of him at all. So I don't see the reason why the Mets want to trade him just because it's only the only reason I can think of is just because we don't want to deal with him anymore. Which is, again, bad business practice.
I think it could
baseball be a, business practice.
I think it could be a combination of that and also a combination of the Mets want to try to make headlines again to try to compete with the Yankees. Which I don't see that happening either. That would be really stupid.
Yeah.
That would be really dumb, but again...
Yeah, let's count this Giancarlo trade with, hey, we're trading Matt Harvey. You know what...
For what?
Yeah, okay. Is that really going to be... Was that really on the back page, Harvey being traded?
No.
Okay, so...
But
that
was
did
like
it work?
A hypothetical.
No. Oh, it's disgusting.
I know. But yeah.
It's just even more disgusting that ownership just doesn't want to have a competent team on the field.
I'd say they have no answer at second base. No answer at third. Dominic Smith, I don't think, is ready to play first base. Darnell is still eh. The only three bright spots are shortstop, right field, and left field. That's it.
And who are in those positions, Matt? Because you could have said shortstop in this, center field, or left field in this.
Shortstop's Amed Rosario. That's set in stone.
Thank you.
Left field's the one assessed, but it's the perennial home run threat if he can stay healthy.
Yes.
And Michael, I blow out my shoulder swinging a bat, Conforto.
I
love Conforto, though, but that seems like it could only happen to the Mets last year.
Yeah. No, I didn't say, I blew or, dislocated my shoulder while swinging a bat, but I know sometimes when I have swung a bat before, I felt my arm, have a weird tweak to it.
Yeah.
So it's probably around the same thing, and it is a bitch.
So, yeah, as it sits right now, the starting eight position players for the Mets as of today, December 14th.
The star-studded lineup. Let's go. Star-studded lineup for the Mets that well, Sandy Alderson and the Mets think are going to win with this lineup compared to the Yankees. Let's go.
Travis Darnell behind the plate.
All right, let's see. Is he better than Sanchez? No.
Dominic Smith at first base. Ha!
Better than Bird?
Not yet. Right.
No. Not yet. I don't know if it's not yet, but at this point, no.
Galvin Cecchini at second base.
I don't know him, so no.
Amed Rosario at short.
He's a rookie.
Give him time, maybe.
But Didi's better.
Yeah.
Right, at this point.
As Drupal Cabrera at third base.
Wash.
Yoan Assess for this left field. Advantage Mets.
Compared to who in left field?
Ellsbury. Jacoby Ellsbury. I'll take Assess for this.
Point taken. Wait, Brent, isn't it Gart? No, isn't it Gardner in left?
Yeah, Gardner's in left. Ellsbury's in center.
And no, that Hicks is in center.
All right, so fine. It's Hicks in center, and Brendan Nimmo's the center fielder for the Mets. But you also have Juan Lagares there, too.
But
chances are Nimmo's probably going to start.
Yeah.
Right field, when healthy, Michael Conforto. That's a loss right there. I love Conforto.
Only because Conforto would have been a plus in a different outfield position if it wasn't covered by
Aaron Judge.
The Judge himself.
Yeah, well, hey, the Mets may have the advantage in the pitching rotation, but for some stupid reason, I think Sandy Alderson's pulling off what happened 2 years ago. They're relying on the pitching staff to keep them in games, and maybe by some miracle, they'll get competent players in here.
It's just, why can't the Mets have the optic of really going out for these players?
Because it's the Mets. They always have to worry about money in the bottom line. That's why.
And operate like a non-New York team?
Because it's the Mets. They're trying to save money. Duh. Yeah, it's not a solid answer, I know, but that's Mets logic. All right, so
let's be frugal owners.
Yeah, we do have the opinions of our other two co-hosts on this show. As far as Danny's concerned, his thoughts on the entire situation with New York baseball is as follows. Once again, the Yankees are stealing the back pages of the newspapers in New York and all over the nation. The Yankees made the huge splash and traded for Giancarlo Stanton. So now the Yankees have a lineup with Stanton, Judge, and Sanchez. The AL East has already been claimed by the Yankees. Good luck to anyone else in the AL because the Yankees are clear favorites to
Ooh,
win it all again.
Flavor favorite.
Yeah.
Flavor of the year.
Yep.
Favorite. Flavorite.
Yep. Flavorite, but Houston might be in the running
for flavor? Vanilla Yankees because it's always the same.
Yep, pretty much. And
just like their pinstripes, vanilla.
Yeah, as far as the Mets are concerned, expect...
Even though that's not even true.
Right. expect to waste time in the Mets. I'll say nothing because they did nothing. They're cheap. Blank. So, yeah, that's Danny's thoughts on...
You're not hearing a complaint from me, Matt, so go on.
All right. As far as Steve is concerned, my segment is just on the Mets. Why? Because they are the definition of disgrace. They have become...
I thought that was the Jets.
Well, no, as far as baseball is concerned.
I thought that was the Rangers when they lose every few games.
Pretty much.
But I thought that was the Knicks.
Period.
Steve really needs to really identify who is the real disgrace.
Who's the real definition of a disgrace? They've become the worst-run franchise, so bad that Oakland seems like a better place to be. The fact that the Mets couldn't get Brian Shaw was the last straw. Did not mean to rhyme there. They're seeing the Yankees drastically...
Wait, what was that sentence?
It says, the fact that the Mets couldn't get Brian Shaw was the last straw.
Yes, after that.
Did not mean to rhyme there.
Oh, okay.
They're seeing the Yankees...
Because I thought I heard... you were mumbling a bit, yeah, and I thought I heard you said bear.
No. The Mets.
Like, what the hell is a bear in this sentence for?
The fact that the Mets didn't
is
get.
Is this a bear market or something?
Not quite. The fact that they didn't get Brian Shaw was the last straw did not mean to rhyme there. They're seeing the Yankees drastically improve their team by getting Stanton, trading Headley, and going after Manny Machado, yet the Mets couldn't even get the relief pitcher they pursued for a month, and instead signed some guy I've never heard of for $14 million. This is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Baseball needs to conduct an investigation and get the Wilpons to sell. If they can't afford
to
get...
They are not going
to
sell. They are... You know, have a nice relationship with the MLB upper brass.
I know, and they're not going to do jack squat.
No.
All right. You're going to try to get... MLB needs to conduct a...
Such is the life as a Met fan.
Oh, wait, but there's more.
Oh, there is. Okay.
Yep. He wants to try get an investigation and try to get the Wilpons to sell. If they can't afford to get anyone, they shouldn't be able to keep the team. As for Alderson, I defended him somewhat because of the Wilpons not giving him the money to work with, but to call out fans like that and tell them not to worry about the team's payroll and stop asking questions about it is ridiculous.
Yep. The fans, I agree with Steve.
So do I. The fans want players that you and your buddy won't give them. I saw a hilarious article on SNY a couple of days ago that suggested that the Mets should get Manny Machado. I laughed because the Mets couldn't even get Machado's backup. The Mets just need
to... Okay, hold on. I mean, is he laughing at the article or just the thought that an article like that exists?
I think both.
Because honestly, I mean, like, why not have an article say this is what the Mets should do? Even though it's probably because Steve's laughing, like, yeah, the Mets aren't going to get it, so why bother having that article?
Right.
So I guess he's laughing at that. But it's like, to laugh at SNY article saying the Mets should get Machado, stop.
No, the fact...
Maybe it's because it's the fact of them raising Mets hope when it's not really going to happen.
Right. So I laugh because the Mets couldn't even get Machado's backup. The Mets just need to pack their babs... Pack their bags and move to a small market location at this point. I'm tired of them, and I'm sure all the fans are, too. And you know what? I agree.
It's, you know, this whole time, these past, since 2008 or so, it really has made me apathetic.
I know.
For the Mets.
And that's coming from a guy who used to...
Exactly.
You were one of the biggest Mets fans I knew.
Yeah, exactly. And even during their World Series run, I was still a bit apathetic. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it just really takes me some time to warm up.
Yeah.
To them and what happened after their World Series run and then just nothing happening after that. Their injury-plagued season in 2016 with incompetence and back to the doldrums again. And then, you know, the same status quo of not really pursuing some upgrades that need to be.
Not even giving Daniel Murphy a contract offer.
Look, no one thought that was going to be sustainable. In the 20s, you know, in his 20 year, you know, not, let me try to start again.
In his 20s. Thank you.
I'm like trying to think in the 20s, 1920s, back in the old day, 20s. No, that's not what I'm talking about, damn it. Yeah, in his 20s.
20-year age range.
Yeah, thank you. You know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do.
No, but in his 20s, like, he was a good hitter, but not the best hitter. You never really saw him for power. He was a contact hitter and all that type of stuff without a position. But now it's, like, who saw that after that postseason run that it was going to be sustainable and he would be a monster player?
I didn't think that. I thought the postseason run was going to be a flash in a pan because he was coming up for a contract.
That's what Mets brass thought, so. That's what Gary Cohen thought. That's what a bunch of Met fans were very unsure about.
Yeah, which is,
so why would we want to sign? So you can't say that. That's Captain Hindsight right
there.
Yeah,
it is.
It's an unfortunate Captain Hindsight.
Because Washington's reaping the benefits of it. They've won the division twice. The only problem is...
They can't do crap in the World Series.
They can't even do crap in the first round. They can
exactly.
beat the division series
Why do you even
every
say
year.
World Series? They never made it yet.
Yeah, please. The franchise has only made it past the first round once. It was the 1981 playoffs when they were still the Expos. They made it to the NLCS.
Yay.
As the Nationals, they've made the playoffs
all right.
five times.
I don't want to talk about doom and gloom with the Mets. Let's talk about the doom and gloom with the Astros. Not the Astros,
the
Angels.
Yeah. Oh, God.
What luck was that?
Should say Ohtani has to have Tommy John surgery.
They sign him. It's a whole big deal. He was going to be the Babe Ruth. He was the Japanese Babe Ruth because he was able to pitch effectively and hit some good home runs. He comes to the Angels, and what do you know? First thing we find out, he has a tear ligament in his pitching elbow. Bam!
And now you wonder why the Mets and the Yankees were curious about signing him. Da-da! That's your logic right there.
Man, the Angels have to have some type of, like, lawsuit or something for, like, I don't know, for, like, false advertisement, because they thought they were getting a nice, sexy car, but all of a sudden, that sexy car had some crappy work to its body.
I know, and that's the last thing you would expect, but that, then again, that's why I think there's a big deal with signing and spending all this money to be able to even remotely talk to Japanese players.
I thought that was lifted already.
What?
I think the posting of that was lifted.
I think it was too, but still. Like, you get a lot of hype out of guys coming out of Japan. Some players live up to the hype.
Well, it's not about that. It's more like he's the next big thing coming from Japan, and he's going to dominate the league. We have all these hypes. We say, oh, look at Ichiro. Oh, look at Daisuke for those first few years when he was with the Red Sox.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
Daisuke
yada,
was
yada.
Average at best.
No, but he was pretty effective in his first few years. Don't lie to me on that.
I'm not.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But, yeah, because it's hard to live up to Ichiro's hype and what he's done in the, from Japan to the MLB and stuff like that. But to be that next thing, and the first thing you find out is that he's going to need Tommy John surgery. Oof. That was a nice waste of money being spent.
Yeah, it certainly looked like it. So, yeah, you got that. Hell, let's also not forget the Marlins have had a fire sale, too. They've dumped off a ton of players.
And none of the Mets can get them.
I know. They traded away Stanton. They traded away
Ozuna.
Marcelo Ozuna to the Cardinals. And they sent somebody else to Seattle. I'm drawing a blank on it now. I don't know why. I just saw this the other day,
too. It's not D. Gordon, is it?
I think it might have been, but I'm double-checking. And I know I had it written down right after he got traded. Answer is, yeah, D. Gordon traded to Seattle. So they traded away Stanton, Ozuna, and Gordon. But I don't think Gordon was all that big of a loss. Yeah, I know he won the batting title a couple years ago, but got busted last year for steroids.
Do they still have Jordani Valdespin?
I hadn't thought about that name in a long time. So thank you very much for bringing that up. Oh, God.
All right.
The one great highlight of his career was that Grand Slam.
All right, move on. We've talked enough.
Yeah.
Well, with our limited time, you got to move on.
Do you want to go into another disaster artist?
Well, if it's in football, then sure.
That's exactly what it is.
Ooh, which disaster artist is this?
Well, let's start with the Giants, shall we?
You mean the season-long disaster artist?
Pretty much.
Why? What happened now besides everyone knowing that the Giants, again, lost?
Yeah, 30-10 to the Dallas Cowboys. They were barely up. Well, the funny thing is, the Giants actually stayed in this football game for three quarters.
Because, you know, they were inspired by having Eli Manning back. But, of course, being a team that's 2-10 showed why their 2-10 just couldn't last long.
Yeah, Eli's stat line for the game in his first game back, 31 of 46, 228, a touchdown and two picks, wasn't sacked at all. 102 yards total in the running game for the Giants, led by Gallman, who had 59 yards on 12 carries.
With this regime change happening to the Giants, I would have to think that Eli would hopefully request a trade.
I would hope so at this point. I mean, it doesn't really matter who you're going to... I mean, Eli's going to have to play mentor anyway. Whether it's Sam Darnold or whoever the hell else the Giants end up picking in the
Because
in the
just
draft.
The way that it's changed and whatnot, I don't think it's right for Eli to end his career with a new regime.
I honestly do feel, in terms of
the regime in Giant Land.
I mean, I said this before. I genuinely felt bad for Eli with the way this year's gone because he was set up to fail by Jerry Reese.
That's what it looked like when you look back. I mean, like, back when it started, we knew there were holes and stuff like that, but they were able to pull out, you know, those wins. So, yeah, I mean, back when the season started, we didn't think that he was set up to fail. Of course, again, hindsight says, yeah, he was set up to fail.
But it was covered up last year by the defense, which helped lead them to an 11-5 record.
Yep.
And the defense hasn't been as good because they've been on the field too long because the offense has sucked.
Exactly.
Flat out. But the Giants at least made it somewhat competitive till Dak and company took over the ballgame. I'm trying to get the final
and
stat.
And is Zeke back this week or is it next week?
I think it's next week. So, yeah, the Cowboys ended up finishing the day. At least Prescott went 20 of 30, 332 yards, 3 touchdowns, no sacks.
Whoa.
Smith had 113 yards on 5 catches, which is a... Rod Smith had himself a damn good day on Sunday. He had 3 catches for 73 yards, including a 50-yard bomb to Dez Bryant. Cole Beasley had a day, had 59 yards. Jason Witten had 1 catch, 20-yard touchdown reception.
All right, here's something that might interest you in terms of a good conversation right now.
For the Giants or for football in general?
For the Giants.
Okay.
Since it seems like the writing is on the wall to do a whole reset, hit the reset button.
Yes.
Do you think football-wise, not personnel-wise, not outside interference-wise, that the Giants should trade Odell Beckham Jr. basically this offseason?
It might be good for everybody involved, honestly. First things first.
It's a yes.
Yeah, it would be a good thing. You have to find the right fit for Odell, though. You got to be able to find somebody willing to be able to take on his massive ego and try to be able to corral him. That's the biggest priority.
Besides the ego,
all right.
Is it good to trade Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, because you get a giant headache off your hands.
Besides the giant headache.
You could also end up getting valuable pieces back, like an offensive tackle, just general offensive line help, draft picks, possible top receiver, a solid receiver. I'm not saying you're going to get somebody back in return of his quality at receiver. You might if somebody else is willing to take him, but there's, yeah.
A good thing to say is that you don't win a Super Bowl when your face of the team is a wide receiver.
No, you win it when your face of your team's a quarterback.
And it's also the idea that I remember hearing this on the radio, was it yesterday or 2 days ago or so?
Okay.
What was it? I hate it when I lose my thought. I really did. I lost my thought.
I
had it, and as I was saying that sentence, it was like...
It popped out of your head. But this is
I hate it. You know that feeling when the thought is like going away, you're trying to grab at it, but it's like, bye! Ah, goodbye!
Yeah, but this is also what you hate about having to talk on the show.
It doesn't matter. It's just what happens.
I know.
But I know we're talking about the whole good thing to trade Odell and all that stuff, but it's definitely... You don't think of the Giants, whenever the Giants won or everything like that, it's the Giants. It was never this person and the Giants. But
the only time you could have thought of that was maybe the 2 Super Bowl runs, because it was Eli and the defense.
No, even with Eli... It was the Giants.
Yeah.
So so there's that. Like, this is the first time that we ever seen where it's Odell Beckham and the Giants. It was the Giants had 2 separate entities.
Yep.
So, you know, you kind of hit that reset button. You bring it back to the Giants core, the Giants values, the way of the Giants, even though we know that the way of the Giants is complete farce when you hire a domestic abuser as a kicker.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And
finally end up getting rid of him.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like when you hit that reset button, you sell Odell Beckham Jr. high. You know you don't want to pay him all that money. That will leave you cash-strapped for future investments. You're going to get a first-round pick, definitely. You're probably going to get a nice piece. Maybe you can get some good offensive line help if you trade him. You're going to get a top-5 pick, probably a number 2 with the way that San Francisco is playing right now.
Yeah, because they've won now 3 games.
Exactly. So it's right now the Browns, the Bears, and the Giants.
I don't even think it's that.
Whatever. But you know they're getting a top-5 pick. So you're going to get that, and then you're going to get another first-round pick if you trade Odell Beckham. And then you also are going to get probably a great player, ready-made player for the Giants, which again I hope it's someone from the offensive line, or if you have a good pick from the trade that you get offensive line help there.
And for the record, it's not the Bears that have the 4 worst records in football. Cleveland at 0-13, the Giants at 2-11, the Niners at 3-10, and the Colts at 3-10.
Okay.
The Broncos and Bears have 4. Broncos, Bears, Bucks, and Texans have 4 wins each.
Man, sorry, Texans.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that later on, too, but can you believe that got screwed up with Houston?
Yeah.
Instead of beating the dead horse with the Giants, I want to get into this really quick.
Yeah, okay.
Did you see what happened with Tom Savage?
Yeah, I mean, I saw, yeah.
How the hell does concussion protocol get away with that and let him go back into the game? When he's twitching on the damn field after getting hit. How does that happen?
Let me think. Wow.
We could be here a while.
Yeah, so move on, because I have no clue.
Exactly. I don't think anybody does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, NFL dropped the ball with concussion protocol, and speaking of dropping the ball, the Jets had a chance to better their odds of making the playoffs. They completely dropped the ball in Denver. They get shut out.
It was typical Jet fashion, though. Yep. The sad thing is because it's typical Jet fashion. When you play as hard as you can and get an emotional win like that, to be handed a victory by the Kansas City Chiefs, but you pour your heart and soul just to get that win, and you use all that energy, and then because of that, you somehow just lay an egg the next game.
Yep.
Not just one egg, a double goose egg zero.
They got shut out 23-0, and the Jets had total 100 yards of total offense.
But here's the kicker.
Yeah.
We have the quarterback.
Yep.
Broken hand. Josh McCown.
Done for the year.
So now, but, I mean, if you want to look at the silver lining, you know, when we heard that throwing those two, Petty and Hackenberg, into the lineup over McCown, like,
start of the year.
Yeah, start of the year, and it was, people, the upper management thought it was a bad decision because the players trusted McCown more than the other two.
Yeah.
Well, you know the Jets are out of it, and this comes at, sadly, a better time, but it's like the players can now say, okay, our guy is legitimately injured. Let's rally around these kids.
Which is going to be Bryce Petty. It was announced Petty's going to start on Sunday.
Okay, let's rally around Petty, and let's put a top performance for Petty, for Bowles and stuff like that. Yeah, but it's not like if we had Petty at the beginning of the year when they feel like he's not ready and they're going to, like, bail on him. It's now come to the point where they know the season's done, but, you know, it seems like the time is right to see what the kids, how they look.
The only question mark I have is can Bryce Petty really hold up under fire this week? Because you get
the problem with Petty is that he's been injured.
Well, no, Petty went 2 of 9 for 14 yards on Sunday and badly missed Robbie Anderson on what could have been an easy touchdown score. Which, by the way, interesting side note, the Broncos, this was their first shutout victory since November of 2005. And the last team that the Broncos shut out?
The Jets?
Yep. Woo. New York Jets, the last two shutouts have been over the Jets. Yeah, no, I just kind of laughed at it. I'm like, really?
Snapple fun fact for you guys on listening to us on a Mile High Radio Network.
Yep.
Denver's even though we're not sponsored by Snapple, but it's basically what you see when you open up the Snapple bottle and you see that, hey, the last time the Denver Broncos shut out the Jets was in 2005.
Their last shutout period.
Exactly. Boop.
There you go.
Click, 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 click. Yep, and then you just do that for like 20 seconds because you're
those things are so much fun. Clicking on the couch are great, though.
Okay, good.
It was more fun than watching the Jet game on Sunday.
you would rather do that for 3 hours than watch the Jets in that
Pretty
one.
Pretty much. That's exactly what happened. At halftime,
who's more brain dead, watching the Jet game or just clicking that Snapple cap for about 3 hours?
It's about even at this point.
Oh, no, there has to be which one's more brain dead.
It's about even at this point.
I say the Jet game.
Yeah. Well, which one was tougher to watch, the Jet game or the Giant game? Again, about even.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, the Giants
actually scored. Okay, so which is more fun to do? What? Watching the Jet game last week, watching the Giant game last week, or clicking that Snapple can for 3 hours? The Snapple bottle cap for 3 hours.
It's a toss-up between the Giants and the bottle cap.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you posed the question. I answered honestly.
I mean, I would say that to anything, because I would give you a response back with anything. I say, but it's a Snapple cap. It has more fun than watch, and you have to be angry and mad at yourself and throw things when you watch the Giants just suffer. Yeah. I mean, you're just clicking a little bottle cap. Yep.
That's what it sounds like, basically. It's entertaining, though.
Yeah, I know, if you're 5.
But I didn't start doing that until I was in middle school. I didn't know about it.
What? You didn't know that?
Not until middle school.
You grew up a sad life.
I know I did.
Not to know the wonders of a Snapple bottle cap.
Yeah. But again, I didn't start drinking Snapple regularly until middle school.
Yeah,
I was a sad, strange, depraved little child, I know.
Yeah, so we have a few minutes left before we go into the predictions.
Well, there is something else that we have to talk about in the NFL.
Yes, please.
Another gigantic quarterback injury. This one is on a more...
Yes. Good. Good thing you brought that.
Earthquakes. Seismic scale. That's what I was looking for.
Philadelphia.
The Eagles clinched the division, but it cost them their starting quarterback, Carson Wentz, done for the year, torn ACL, and that completely screws me over.
Because you had Carson Wentz?
I had Carson Wentz in a fantasy league, and I'm now playing Danny in the semifinals.
Ooh,
and
boy.
I traded with Danny. He had Wentz originally. I traded a Matt Stafford for Wentz straight up. Wentz got me this far, blows out his knee. Now I got to go with
Matt. Who's your backup?
Matt Ryan. And he's been inconsistent lately.
Well, I mean, after their win on Thursday with the Falcons.
I know.
You know, maybe they have a chance to right that ship.
Possibly.
I mean, they're probably going to make the playoffs as a wild card.
Which is a stretch at that. Cause...
No, I feel like those three teams in the NFC South are going to make it.
Yeah. There is a possibility.
Yeah, those three teams are still too good.
Oh, I know. Trust me, I know.
I like that I can hear you clicking your laptop.
Yeah, I know. It's easier for me to read it that way. The way the playoffs sit right now, Falcons are in the playoffs. They're at 8-5. They get the tiebreaker over Seattle based on head-to-head win percentage. Because them and Seattle are both at 8-5. Seattle's on the outside looking in going into this week. So, yeah. Yeah, they're going to have to go with Nick Foles to try to get them deep into the playoffs.
I mean, Nick Foles made it to the playoffs.
He did, but I thought...
I mean, he is no Carson Wentz, but he's no slouch either.
No, I'm not saying he's a slouch. I'm just saying that with... Carson Wentz under center, I think most football fans, I think, would agree with this, and I'm sure you would too, that there's probably a better than even chance that Philly would have gone to at least the NFC title game with Wentz under center.
Look at the Vikings, and they're doing under Case Keenum.
Yeah, and they're 10-3.
Look at that. So just imagine, maybe, you know, you could have a Case Keenum situation in Philadelphia.
Which is entirely possible.
But here's the thing, Nick Foles has proven to be a competent quarterback anyways.
He has. There's no denying that he has. But... It got me curious. They're probably going to do this again in a couple weeks anyway. But since we're now down to the end of the... Or we're nearing the end of the regular season, I'm looking back at what we had for predictions for the divisions. Oh, God.
Are you vomiting in your mouth right now?
Pretty much. Dallas won the division at 11-5. The Giants finished 11-5 and get a wild card spot.
Well.
And Philly at 9-7. Packers win the North. Lions.
Well,
Yeah, Lions and Vikings finish at 8-8.
Well, Green Bay... is getting back their god.
Yes, that's true. Aaron Rodgers is back and we'll start on Sunday.
So we'll see if he can somehow will them to the playoffs.
I had the Bucks going 10-6 and I had New Orleans finishing last in that division at 8-8.
This has really been a crazy NFL season.
I had the Rams finishing 5-11. And look how that's turning out.
I mean, the only thing that's been consistent is the Bears.
Yep.
The Giants.
The Giants are...
No, not the Giants.
The Patriots.
The Bears, the Patriots, the 49ers, and the Browns.
And the Steelers. Because I had the Steelers.
The problem
going
is that the Steelers play down to their competition. And that's going to ruin their chances because they're just too used to that. And once they play New England in the playoffs, forget it.
Yeah, hell, you want to talk about a surprise division? Look at the AFC West.
Look at the AFC South.
I know, right?
Jacksonville has a winning record.
Which is a miracle in and of itself.
It's like first time in like 10-something years.
The Jaguars are 9-4 going into week 15.
They have a chance because of this New England loss when they just acted like the Browns against the Dolphins.
Which was sad and pathetic.
So New England was acting like the Browns as New England was playing the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Now the Jaguars has a chance to get a bye.
Which I never thought I'd ever hear that sentence. And here's how you know that the West is pathetic. Kansas City leads the way at 7-6. Then you have the 7-6 Chargers and the 6-7 Raiders who are fighting out for a playoff spot.
And I don't think the Broncos are still out of it.
They're well out of it. They're 4-9.
But they're 3 games back.
Yeah.
With 3 weeks left.
They had an 8-game... 7-9 is not going to get you a playoff spot. It's not going to get you a playoff spot. The last two spots right now are being held by the 8-5 Titans.
Yeah, but if all the AFC West ends in 7-9, who wins?
It'd be Kansas City right now. They have the tiebreaker over LA on head-to-head win percentage.
I said if everyone...
Kansas City would still get the tiebreaker.
Out of all the four teams?
Yes. Kansas City would get the tiebreaker.
Where do you see that?
It'd probably be based on head-to-head winning percentage over the Rams, which is why Kansas City's sitting in the playoff spot.
Yeah,
right
but
now.
But if whatever.
It's lowly 7-6.
It's too complicated. All right.
So we got enough time to go into picks and picks?
Yes, we always have enough time. All
right, let's do that right now. Let's go. This is the Sully and Steve on Sports Pigskin Pick'em. Turn down for what?
This pigskin pick'em season is almost over. And what do you know? Matt is back in the driver's seat with 2 weeks to go left in the pigskin pick'em season.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How did this happen? Well, here...
I'm curious myself. What the hell happened last week?
Well, we'll start off with the first game on the schedule, which was Dallas and New York. Both you and Steve predict Dallas to win. Steve predicted them to win by 3, while you predicted the Cowboys to win by 10. But what happened was that it was a 20-point differential in favor of the Cowboys. And even though that went over both of your predictions, Matt was the closest, so Matt got the win.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the next game has the Browns facing off Green Bay. It was a pretty close game to Cleveland standards. 27-21, a 6-point differential.
Had to go to overtime, though.
Exactly. And because of that, it was either if that was a field goal, then Steve would have won. And if it was a touchdown, Matt would have won. But since it was a touchdown, Matt won that game because his point differential was 10 and Steve's was 5.
And it ended up, and Cleveland blew a 14-point lead. Surprise, surprise.
Next game is Bengals at Bears. All the way around, Bears at Bengals. Doesn't matter. All three of you picked the Bengals.
Why?
And I don't know because.
I don't know either now.
The Bears beat the Bengals. Doesn't matter what the score is because doesn't matter.
We were all wrong.
Yep, you guys were completely wrong.
Wrong.
So now we go on to the Chargers hosting against somehow the Redskins who basically decide to implode. Implode worse than the Silverdome.
Oh, the High Chief Snyders. Bye-bye. Who won that game?
So that game... Steve predicted them to win by 6, Dan predicted for them to win by 3, and you predicted for them to win by 7, and that was a 17-point differential win for the Chargers, 30-13. So Matt has, with 2 games left, a 3-point lead.
Yeah!
So that's the automatic win right there. To round it out, though, Steve was the only one that picked the Broncos to win, so he got that one.
Yeah.
And in the massive punch-for-punch heavyweight bout of the Rams and Eagles,
game.
The Eagles won 43-35, a point differential of 8. And even though you picked 3, Steve predicted them, if you remember, by 1.
1 point.
1 point, so, and Matt, you got that win. Danny didn't even pick the Eagles. So, there you
Rams.
Go. So, Matt got 4 correct winning predictions. Steve got 1 and Dan got 0. So, that means Matt has taken the lead, has 21 points. Steve got 1 second place point to move to 19. And Dan is basically out of it with 2 weeks to go. The only way possible
He has to win out. He has to win.
There could be a chance for a 3-way tie, I believe.
Yeah, but Danny, to get back in this, he has to win outright the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think he even has a chance because the thing is that would only be 2 first place wins for Dan. Meanwhile, you have 5. So it would go by how many first place wins.
I would get it.
Yeah, so basically.
So, by the way, I forgot to ask, is there a prize on the line this year?
There was. We told you that. The shirt.
Okay.
You know, with the blue show
with
the line from Taken?
Yeah. All right, so Golden Magic Carp stays in my possession. Now the shirt is on the line. What's up first this week?
The first game up this week will be, as we always start with, the New York games. The one higher up on the schedule is the New York Giants hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, this is a test for the Eagles to see if they can be cohesive with Nick Foles. Do you believe that will be the case and the Eagles win?
Yes, they will. Philly's gonna get the win. If Wentz had managed to stay healthy, not getting hurt, it would have been more of a blowout. But because it's Nick Foles' first start, it's gonna be a little closer than expected. Philly wins it by a touchdown. 7 points. 7-point win for Philly.
All right, there you go.
What about my other 2 cohorts? What do they think?
Well, Steve has predicted a point differential of 7 as well. But he's picked the Giants for the upset.
All right.
Though Dan has the high point differential.
Higher ground for Philly?
Yes, higher ground for Philly. Dan has the higher ground.
we do that line too much, but it's fun.
Dan has the higher ground, yes.
What's the point differential?
We should call that 10.
10, all right.
10 has the higher ground. Dan has the higher ground by 10.
All right. And
10 has the higher ground by 10.
It does indeed, Jeff. Next game.
Turn down for what?
So the other New York game is the Jets going to New Orleans. How bad will the Jets lose by, Matt?
14. Saints win it by at least 14.
Do you want to pick who again?
Who am I matched up with?
You're matched up with Steve.
All right. 20. I'll go 20.
Ooh. Okay.
So Steve's got 14. What about Danny?
Dan has picked 21.
Ooh.
Dan, again, has the higher ground.
Wow. So in order for me to get the win, it has to be 20 points on the nose.
No, it has to be 15 points to 20.
All right.
So you have some room there.
So if it gets higher than 3 touchdowns, automatic win for Danny.
Exactly.
All right, Jeff, let the randomizer take over. Next game.
Turn down
for
what?
Oh, God, the holy randomizer. Let's see some great games this time, randomizer.
Do we actually have good ones?
Do we have good ones? Do we always have good ones?
That's debatable.
That is debatable. So this first one up right now is not a good game.
Oh, no.
It is the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, God.
Well, maybe it could be a good game because the way the San Francisco 49ers have been playing recently. Well, what do you think, Matt? In San Francisco? Who wins that one?
Niners by 7. Because of the way Jimmy Garoppolo's played the last couple weeks and the fact that he's gotten that team to relevancy again.
Well, how relevant is it, really?
Well, he's finally stabilized the position of quarterback for the 49ers. I was skeptical about it against, after his first start. I'm believing in him now after his second one. He goes to 3-0 as a starter. Niners get the win by 7.
Okay. Well, I don't have to ask you to change your score.
Thankfully.
So that's good.
Thankfully.
Well, you have the higher ground in that prediction along with Dan. Dan has picked the 49ers to win by 3. Though Steve has gone with the Titans to win by 10, that point differential won't matter for Steve because if the Titans win, Steve gets that game.
And if it's a touchdown or higher, I get the win for
exactly.
The Niners. So, Jeff, next game.
Turn down for what?
Next one is the Sunday night game as the Raiders try to salvage their season against the other team that needs to salvage their season, the Dallas Cowboys.
And this game
continue
is,
to salvage, I should say.
I was going to say, where is this game? Dallas or Oakland?
Oakland.
Ah, it's in Oakland. All right. 4 o'clock start out west.
No. It's 8:30.
No, it's an 8:30 start here on the East Coast.
So that's 5:30, Matt.
It's a 5:30 start in the west.
Your time zones suck.
Yeah, I know they do.
Your time zone math is horrible, Matt.
Yes, it is.
Brush up on your time
I've
zones.
I've never been very good at math anyway. You know that.
Everyone should know that if you're from the East Coast, it's a 3-hour differential
difference.
From the West Coast.
Yeah, I know.
Besides Arizona, but that's a different story.
Not going to matter anyway. Dallas gets the win by a touchdown.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about the point differential, Matt.
Really? They're both picking Oakland?
They both are picking Oakland.
Okay.
And they both have picked them to win by 7.
All right, so it's either I get the win outright or they tie.
Exactly. How about that?
That's... Well, we've all got the point differential right.
No, it's not point differential right. It's you got matching point differentials.
Yeah. It's just... Now
we don't know if it's right or wrong.
We'll find out on Sunday night.
Yep.
So, next game.
Turn down for what?
Another good game picked by the randomizer. I should say that in air quotes. Because...
As he just did in the studio.
Yes. As it has picked the Saturday afternoon game of Detroit hosting Chicago.
The Bears are gonna lose. I'm taking Matt Stafford and the Lions to pull this one out. Detroit wins it by 10. The Bears are kind of just, meh, the last couple of games, yes, I know. They got the win over Cincinnati last week, but you beat Cincinnati. You beat the Bengals, who suck. The Lions are actually a decent football team.
And they need to salvage their season as well.
They're going to get it this week. Detroit gets the win by 10.
All right, so you don't have the higher ground. That, again, goes to Dan.
Okay.
Who has picked the Lions to win by 14, while Steve has the lower ground. I wonder who has the advantage, the higher ground or the lower ground. Do we know?
We'll find out on Sunday. What's Steve got by?
He has them to win by 4.
Detroit by... Wow, I'm surprised he keeps going with these lowball numbers.
Well, I mean, he... Yeah, he was the lowest with the New Orleans game.
He was.
He would have been the highest one if anyone else picked Tampa Bay with him.
Yeah.
Not Tampa Bay, Titans with him.
Yep.
Starts with T. Sorry, my bad.
That's fine. Whatever. Jeff, next game.
Final game.
Yep.
Turn down for what?
Well, wouldn't you know it?
Uh-oh.
The Rams are back again!
Yes!
I don't know how many straight weeks it is now.
I think it's at least three, but this one's
actually... I think we got 8 straight weeks with them.
Wow, but this is actually a good game.
Yes, as they go to Seattle for a fight for that first spot in the NFC West.
Let's do this correctly. If the winner wins this game, what do they get?
No, because it's not a tie.
Ah.
It's because the Rams has 9 wins and Seattle has 8 wins.
Ah, so if the Rams win, they will further advance themselves into what?
First place.
I gotta get that out of him at least once a show.
Well, good for you.
All right, so it's Rams at Seahawks. The Rams get their 10th win of the year. Rams win the football game, and it's going to be by a field goal. Rams by 3.
Do you want to pick again?
All right, Rams by 7.
Do you want to pick again?
Rams by 10.
So you want the higher ground?
Yeah, the higher ground.
Do you want to pick them to win by 1?
No. Hell no. Rams by 10.
Okay, since you know that one picked them to win by 3 and the other picked them to win by 7, do you want to just have fun and guess which one picked which?
I'll say Danny picked 7, Steve took 3.
You are correct. Jeez, right. I wonder how you knew.
It's been Steve's MO to pick the lower scores.
Yep.
So that is Pigskin Pick'em for this week. We actually have a little bit of diversity this week on at least three of the games.
Yep, 3 games with diversity. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
You want to shut this down?
Shut this the hell down.
Excellent. Turn down for what? All right, so we got a few minutes left before we end the show. Like maybe we have about a minute and a half. So.
All right, then I made this quick. The Islanders wasted a hat trick tonight. Can't believe I'm saying this. Josh Bailey actually scored a hat trick.
Was it overtime, though?
6-4 Jackets.
Okay. Yeah. How about this, the thing you saw on Facebook?
Oh, yeah. All right. So.
Matt's happy again.
Yeah, NFL Memes had posted this. It is, you basically have to be able to do.
Okay, so it goes 4th quarter, 2 minutes on the clock, no timeouts, and your birth month needs to score to save your life. Are you dead or alive?
All right, out of the hosts on this show.
Okay, so Steve's birthday is December, and NFL Memes has picked December to be elite Joe Flacco.
He's all right.
Are you really?
Well, maybe. Let's see. Greg's in November.
And who does he have?
Drew Brees, New Orleans Saints.
Good. All right, me, I'm born in September, so I got Ben Roethlisberger.
Not bad.
I got a good one.
Yeah, I'm in August, so I have Tony Romo.
The problem with you is that you're going to do great all game, but when it comes to 2 minutes, when every time Dallas scores a touchdown with Romo, the defense sucks on the Cowboys, and it's basically another 49-49 game, and when it's on the line, he's going to throw a pick six, and they're going to blame Romo for it.
So guess what? I'm dead.
Yeah.
Brendan, who's, at the end of January... has Jay Cutler. Sorry, Brendan. Danny has the worst luck out of the bunch. Danny's birthday's in October, and guess who he has?
I see a picture of a butt fumble.
That's exactly who he's got. Danny's got Mark Sanchez.
I can't believe they picked Mark Sanchez.
Oh, that was great. That was fantastic. And look, and how funny, how ironic would this have been for Danny? Look who's June.
Oh, is any one of our birthdays in June? I know, it's Brady.
Yeah, but no, unfortunately.
Yeah.
If Danny had been born in June, that would have been perfect for him.
Oh,
but it's not.
Dad.
He got the butt fumble.
Yeah.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry, Danny. But that's too great. That's priceless. On that note, we have run out of time for this episode of the show. I'd like to remind everybody again that you can follow us on various forms of social media. Facebook.com/SollySteveOnSports. Twitter at @S_S_sports. Use both locations to get all your updates on the sports world, all your updates on this very show, and ask us questions. We'll try to answer them on the air each and every week. We've got our sports blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com. All the latest episodes of the show are on iTunes. Every single piece of audio we've ever got is on SoundCloud. Just search Sully and Steve on Sports. Hit download, and you can set it, and you can take the show with you wherever you go. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or whatever you don't want to leave on social media, email us, SollySteveOnSports@gmail.com. Next week will be the last show of 2017. Right?
Or so we think.
For now, stay tuned. Till we tee it up again next week, for everybody working hard behind the scenes, for Third Mike, Dan, Steve, and Jeff, I'm Sally. We'll be back same time, same place next week. See ya.